Praise God. Well, I want to speak on a verse in a moment that I've never in the whole 40-odd years of my Christian life ever heard anybody speak on. And I felt the Holy Spirit has been drawing me into this for some time to do with what I see is happening sometimes in the church at large. And also, as a pastor and someone who travels into different fellowships and countries, that I see, particularly in the West, that it is something that we need to look at afresh. So this morning I'm going to speak on the purpose of God, which is to turn sinners into saints. It's to turn sinners into saints. And to do that, for God to do that, I think we all need to have a better, more fuller understanding of repentance. So the photo that's up there says living a life of repentance. Let me set a couple of scenes for us this morning. I'm going to involve my beautiful wife. She's going to come and help me. So I want you to imagine, okay, I can imagine it, you can't, but come up here.
Impromptu, by the way.
Yeah, always impromptu, because otherwise you won't do it. Here's your microphone. Okay, I want you to imagine about 42 years ago, there was a date when a very long, blonde-haired young woman, very slim and very attractive, and she had a very nice red dress on, and I remember speaking to her, and it went something like this. It was, Mary, we've been seeing each other for some time now, and I want to tell you that I believe God has brought us together, and I believe I really love you, and I want to be your husband, and I want to spend the rest of my life with you, and I trust you can see my genuine love and commitment to you, and then ask for a response. Now, this is part of the sort of plan to help you this morning. But see what you would think to Mary if she answered like this.
Well, Paul, I know you love me and I know you're committed to me, but I've got some other boyfriends. Would it be okay if I sort of saw them from time to time, perhaps once a month or something like that?
You see, friends, you're all laughing because you know that her answer... What do you mean with that? I've got a microphone. Her answer defines the relationship. Is that right? Her answer to me defines the relationship. And on that basis, if 42 years ago Mary had said that, do you know what? I would have said, well, I love you, Mary, but I'm going to walk away. Because that is not what I believe was in my heart connecting to our relationship. I'm glad she says, I'll love you forever. And yes, marry me as quick as you can. Right? Praise God. And we did. But the truth is, friends, I believe in the church today, Christians need to define their relationship with God again. One of my favorite stories as a young Christian that an old pastor came to our church and told us about, and I'm sure at some point I may have mentioned it here before, but it was of a doctor walking down a large river in Chicago, down the edge of the river. He was walking along the side there on his way to his surgery. And he suddenly looked and saw two men pulling another man out of the river. Yeah? And they pulled him out of the river and they left him on the side of the bank. The doctor ran over to them and said, "Don't end there. You've got him out of the river. Now you've got to get the river out of him." One of the things today that we're faced with in this generation, I would say probably more than any other, and I think there's lots of things to do with that. I think it's to do with the fact that one of the men who has just left us and gone to his reward actually was considered by many to be out of date even in the 1960s, the swinging 60s. That a man should come to England and tell us that we need a life change through Jesus Christ. Billy Graham was his name. And since that time, the church has gone through different changes. Some good, some not so good. Because it seems today that we have made an emphasis on God doing everything at the beginning of our relationship with Him. I want to tell you, God wants much more out of the relationship than just the beginning. And He's done and provided so much more that it's not only to do with the beginnings of our relationship with God. So here's the scripture. Please listen to it or read it if you want to. There's different versions. But Acts 26 and verse 20, the Apostle Paul is speaking about his post-conversion life. And he says, "But I declared first to those in Damascus and in Jerusalem and throughout all the region of Judea and then to the Gentiles that they should repent, turn to God and do works befitting repentance." Another version, you put it up there, the Amplified, it says, "I preach that they should repent, change their inner self, their old way of thinking, and turn to God, doing deeds and living lives which are consistent with repentance." Another version puts it like this. It says that actually, that you should turn to God and change your inner old life and your deeds and prove that you are different by your repentance. I want to say to you, I think it's time for us to become very black and white again about salvation. Because I'm going to say some things today that I can prove to you from Scripture. And you might say you know them. I guess there's some you're going to get challenged with. But the first is this. Can you go on to the next one, please, Mike? Harry, is it? Can you see that? First and foremost, I want to tell you that repentance is given by God. The Lord Jesus said these words, "No one can come to me except the Father draws him." And in Acts chapter 11, if you flick back a little bit from where we were, if you've got your Bible, if not, I'll read it to you. And verse 18, it says these words. "When they heard these words, they became silent and they glorified God, saying, then God has also granted to the Gentiles repentance to life." God has to grant repentance. Why is this? Because sometimes people can be sorry for what they've done, but never change from what they've done. There's a man in the Bible called Esau, and in Hebrews chapter 12, it speaks of him and it says this, "Even though in a silly rash moment he'd sold his birthright to his brother for a bowl of Campbell's soup, you know, that he wished that he could change his mind." But if you look in Hebrews, it's quite clear that what it says in the commentaries is this: he actually sought it, but his repentance was not genuine. There didn't seem to be anything genuine. You know, friends, we can have tears. without change. But here's the big thing that I want you to understand this morning. There is nowhere in the Bible that tells us that repentance from sin is what repentance is only about. Nowhere. Nowhere. And yet, in the gospel, we clearly know that for it to be good news, there's got to be something that actually men want. Numerous years ago when I was in Texas, I was preaching in a top security prison, and there was about 75 men there. Some of them were allowed out and they were on death row. They were got death sentences upon them. And I want to tell you, when I was praying about that, because you know when you pray about going to speak to men like that, you want to have something that the Holy Spirit can use. And God clearly said to me, these men know they're sinners. Tell them that I have made them clean. You know what? I couldn't get hugged enough at the end. Because what sinners need to know is that they are clean. Is that right? Sinners need to know that they are clean. So like the man in the river, we got him out of the river, but God's plan in repentance is now to get the river out of us, of this world. And so repentance is given by God. I want to tell you this morning, I like modern ways of evangelism, but I want to say unless the Holy Spirit is involved, a person cannot repent and believe the gospel. I used to know somebody who went out in a town not far from here a couple of times a week, and they would tell me the next day, oh, I led 24 to Jesus. Oh, wow. I better come and visit your church and have a look. It's exciting. When I went, there was none of them there. I said, oh, where are they? Oh, well, that's not my responsibility. So how do you know they are following Jesus? Well, Paul says very clearly there, doesn't he, in Acts 26, that there will be proof, evidence of repentance. This is how, you know, it's not having a nice feeling for half an hour. It's not even having an encounter with God. You know, God let lots of people know who he was, but he didn't save them. Salvation, as we know it, comes from God, and it's not a turning from sin alone. In fact, turning from sin is both a bonus and a fruit that you really have repented. Some people say, well, it was the love of God that drew me. And I understand what they mean. But you know what? When I look in Scripture and when I look in history, what I find is, first and foremost, what God does is make you see that you need him. And he does that by letting someone tell you the gospel. And then he wants the Holy Spirit... He allows the Holy Spirit to be present, so when someone tells you that before you need a Savior, you have to admit you're a sinner, when the Holy Spirit comes to work on that, your sins mean you change your mind about God. See, I think people think that God's just a big sugar daddy in his clouds. I want to tell you, he's a holy, righteous God who is going to judge this world and is going to judge every person according to the lives they've lived. And their ultimate destination is either in heaven with him forever or in hell separated from him forever. Because our sin will judge where we go. But that's the news that we often don't need convincing of. I didn't need to convince men in that prison that they had done things, evil things. And you say, well, I haven't done those. Let me tell you, there are three levels of sin. And every one is true of me and is true of you. Firstly, this morning, are you a human being? Is there anything here less than a human being? Don't say it, ladies, don't say it. That means we are all sons of Adam. That means, first and foremost, you have inherited Adam's sin. Oh, I never did it, he did it. But you prove you're one of his children because you know yourself. Not only have you inherited his sin, but actually God has shown you right from wrong. Anybody here know what a conscience is? Yeah? Know what your conscience is? Do you know, whether you've got the Bible or not, you have a conscience given you by God to regulate what is good and what is evil. That's its general purpose, not its saving purpose. So you not only have inherited sin, God says you're a sinner. So he knows your sins and your conscience knows it. So you also have imputed sin. That means God says, I'm recognizing that you are a sinner. Not because of Adam alone, but because you stepped over the fence and committed the same sins as him. Proving that you're a son of Adam. Hello? This is for all those people who think, I'm quite good, really. No? There is none righteous. No, not one. And then thirdly, even today we have to admit, as well as inherited sins, imputed sins that we've done and God recognizes in our past, we still commit personal sin because we're living in a sinful world. So when anybody says to me, do you need a savior? Or I say to them and they say, no, I don't need God. I'm fine. I tell you what, that's a good thing to live by. It's not a very good thing to die by. Because the Bible says we shall all stand before the judgment seat of God. Who will judge us out of his holiness and out of his justice. Now, I haven't got time to expand that, but just to say to you, repentance is given by God. That is why, what's my next point? The Bible says repentance produces godly sorrow. That means that I know I'm a sinner. I know I deserve sentencing. I know I deserve God's judgment, but somehow the Holy Spirit not only shows me my sin and convinces me of it, he shows me that Jesus has done something to change all that. He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. That's when I realize I have godly sorrow. See, I think every Christian must experience godly sorrow. We must be sorry for our sins. You see, repentance is not against Jesus directly. It's against God who created you. It's against a Father who loves you. It's against somebody whose will for you has been ignored. So in the New Testament, you'll find it's repentance towards God. And that only comes through godly sorrow. And the Holy Spirit's the only one who can do that. Is there anybody here this morning who can say, I know a time in my life when I became a Christian that I experienced godly sorrow? Godly sorrow. See, we sing lots of songs today, but if you look at some of the old Methodist Wesley songs and whatever, not only talks about the joy, but it also talks about the weeping. Yeah? It talks about the need for our life to be transformed and our only hope. Yeah? My hope is built on nothing less but Jesus' blood and righteousness. You see, you need a Savior when the Holy Spirit shows you and you have godly sorrow that you, without Jesus, without repentance of sin, are lost eternally. That's the beginning of repentance. A turning from sin, yes, but that's not all of it. Repentance is a Greek word, and I want you all to say it out loud, metanoia. Metanoia. It simply means to turn and go the other way. It's not complicated. In driving, I need to do it quite a lot when I go traveling and I get lost. I've got a sat-nav and a wife. I don't know which I prefer when it comes to directions, but she would admit she's better. She usually is, actually. But repentance produces godly sorrow, and it's more than a turning from sin. It's a complete change of my mind. What towards? Well, in Acts 2:38 it says, repent and turn to Jesus Christ. You see, repentance really begins to operate in your life when you realize what I've just said about your sin towards God. And then to realize God has provided Jesus Christ as the answer. And so it is repentance towards God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is to turn and change your mind about Jesus forever. He's not only a good man, not only a teacher, not only one of the prophets. He is the only begotten Son of God, the only one who can save us and give us eternal life. So I need to know that my repentance towards God, and it's the first of four stages. See, I don't believe people are fully saved until they've gone past stage four. What's the stages? Repentance. I've talked about it. I'm talking about it this morning. Faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. Baptism in water. My old life is dead, yeah? And I'm proving it to you by my repentance. Come back to that in a moment. And then baptism with the Holy Spirit. I now am filled with God's life. That's what I consider. I don't want to steal his title, but I think David Pawson calls that a normal Christian birth. That's the normal Christian birth. So I'm sorry if you just had a little experience one night, and it could be the start of something, but it doesn't mean you're saved. It means God's trying to touch you. But he's got to do more, and he won't change the way in which he saves people. There's only one way. Is that right? And it's through Jesus Christ. So let's press on. Let me get my notes as well. Repentance then has to be understood is to God and through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Baptism is not done as a profession of faith. Baptism must be done as a proof of repentance. My life has changed. The thing that happened when I was the skinhead and I went back and some of them saw me being baptized. They said, he really means this, he's not coming back from this. He's changed. Yeah? You know what changed? Because when I put my trust in Jesus, I began to listen to Jesus and what he wanted for my life. So what upset Jesus upset me. And what he wanted me to stop, I wanted to stop because of my relationship with him. Yeah? So, repentance, friends, this morning, can you say this with me? Repentance is a crisis and a process. Is a crisis and a process. Because if we only put repentance into the first part, and that's it, and it's done with and dealt with, Now, of course, there is a level of that. I'm repenting to begin with from what Hebrews 6 verse 1 says, from dead works. There's no life in them for me anymore. They're dead. They're dead works. And sometimes we fail to see that repentance is more than a crisis, more than a, oh, I'm sorry, God, you know, help me. No, because there's a process too. Do you know why? Because the doctrine of salvation says this: I am saved, I'm being saved, and I will be saved. And did you know, the first part happened to me many years ago, but the last two parts are going to take until Jesus takes me home. So listen, we should no longer be living only in the first part of our salvation. God says the crisis needs to happen, but you've got to now move on to the process. Because God's plan wasn't just to get your sins forgiven. God's plan was to get you ready for heaven. And he has to do that by changing sinners into saints. And that is a process. So I'm sorry, I'm not convinced. Because I meet people say, oh, so-and-so gave his life to Christ. I go around and talk to them, and they're still effing and blinding. They're still doing it all. Now, I know there's a time sometimes for people to change. But I want to tell you, I knew that when I got saved. Listen, I'm a Yorkshireman. If I didn't know a swear word, I'll make one up. But when the Holy Spirit came in me and the Spirit of His grace began to cause me to see that my foul mouth was a disgrace to somebody who called a Christian, God immediately took it from me. All the things to do with immorality, God took from me. Because when the Spirit of Christ comes into a person's life and they know it's an encounter, it's a change with God, that if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. And so from now on, praise God, I am being saved. You know what we should say when somebody says, oh, you know, three people got saved tonight. No, they didn't. Three people started getting saved. That's what we should say. Still rejoicing it. Still rejoicing in heaven. But they've only started. My stepfather used to say this: when we think the work is done, then the work has just begun. Right? So listen, God hasn't finished with you yet. He's still saving you. Because sometimes, when were you saved? Right? From now on, I think I'm going to say, well, I still am being. If they mean, when did I come to know Christ? Oh, I could tell them when I was 17. But if I'm honest, the truth of the Word of God is I'm still being saved. Christians, it's not something you do and then carry on living as though there's no relevance to what God did in your life. It's a process. It's repentance and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. That we've changed one's mind about Jesus. That we actually have faith, which is an action, by the way. Faith is an action. It's something that I do. Something that I have and live by and put into operation in every part of my life. Someone said this: they had faith in Hebrews 11 because they did faith. See, people will see we have faith in every day of our lives in Jesus Christ. It will come into how I pay my bills. It will come into how I speak. It will come into how I think. It'll come into what I read, what I wear. Why? Because I don't want to do what Jesus don't like me doing. And I've realized that without true repentance, we can see people saying, I believe. But we can't see them following. Thank God when we can. Thank God when we see people. And you know, it still happens. And it's still happening. Yeah? God still is able to bring true repentance to a person's life. See, repentance is something we do. We do say, God, forgive us our sin. And at that moment, your repentance begins. But you're justified forever in that moment. Here's how it's possible for you to allow repentance to continue changing your life forever. Because when God justified you, as the old saying is, he made it justified, never sinned. God chooses, once we've had faith in Jesus, to look upon us as though we are righteous. That's God's choice. He says, okay now, my Holy Spirit, the truth you've believed, makes you righteous. I choose to look upon you as righteous. So now you have everything you need in my Holy Spirit, in my word, and amongst other disciples who are following me, for you also to be transformed. For you to continue being saved. See, the modern evangelical is like, get a hand up and it's done. They're not. I'm telling you, I've seen it. I've seen lots. There has to be something happens in your life if real repentance is beginning. I know it because it happened in me. So I don't want you to have less, because I want God to be at least the same as he is to me. So repentance. God has now said, hey, I've made you righteous. Now I've given you everything for you to become righteous. See that? So Paul says to the church in Ephesus, those of you who are telling lies, stop lying. Yeah? Those of you who steal, stop stealing. Why? Because you have in you an imputed righteousness that enables you now to be righteous in your actions. So you take the money back to Tesco's checkout operator when they give you too much. You don't think you've had a good day and praise God for it, because God is not a thief. Hello? Yeah? And so we need to understand this, friends, because at the end of the day, I want the world to know that God has done something in me that makes me different from them. Yeah? Otherwise, if I'm just going in the same as I were before, they say, oh, well, he's a Christian. Yeah? We're living in an age where there's too many Demases around. Paul says, Demas has forsaken me, loving more of the world. Yeah? We've got to say, if all the world sees about us is that we want money, bigger, better, whatever, did you know that's got nothing to do with your eternal life? Nothing whatsoever. So, praise God, repentance leads to sanctification and holiness. Go on to the next screen. I think it might be the last, I hope. Yeah, we've got it finished. Sanctification and holiness. Be ye holy, for I am holy. God, his plan for you is to make you a saint. Make you ready for heaven. Make you a person that's becoming more and more like Jesus. Yeah? Because if you don't, you might not like heaven. Okay? You see, there's a message out there today that's like, everything has got grace and he does it all and I haven't got to do anything. Show me that in the Bible. It's not there. Repentance means this process of God in my life is that every day as I'm walking with Jesus, being filled with the Spirit, reading his word, he is still saving me. He's dealt with my dead works and my past sin, but that wasn't his purpose. His purpose is that he wants to prepare me for the eternal life that I have already within me. And by the way, I better be careful about that as well. You see, because everybody uses that major scripture. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? John 3:16. Yeah? But you know, you ought to go back and get yourself a Greek interlinear book or go online, because it's free. And you will find it says this: for God so loved the world, past tense, that he gave his only begotten Son, past tense, that whoever continues believing in him will not perish, but continue to have eternal life. There's something in that verse, the aorist tense, that means there's a responsibility upon us not to think it's only on God's part, but we have to live for the reason and purpose that God has saved us. Not many amens. Because we like a grace message that says, I'm just always weak, I'm just always failing, I'm just... Listen, it's time for us to get a strong gospel again. Do I believe in the grace of God? Of course I believe in the grace of God. But do I also believe in discipleship and holiness? Yes, I do. And we need to learn again that gossip is evil. We need to learn that selfishness is one of the sins of the flesh. We need to not only have the gifts of the Spirit and prophesy, we need to have the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5. Because this is part of the process of us being saved. If we're still the same as we were 5 years ago, something has stopped. Paul says to the Galatian church, who cut in on you? You were running well. Yeah? But they stopped and did something else. They stopped and did something else. So let me conclude. Repentance is something I must keep doing. You see, is the eternal life of Jesus in the vine or in the branches? So, did you know there's over 80 passages in the New Testament that warn us that we are to be careful that we keep doing what we're doing? Yeah? Let me try and find. Don't lose. This is the phrase that's repeated often. Don't lose what you've got. What does that mean? For those who believe the once saved, always saved, 80 verses that tell us that we need to make sure we don't lose what we've got. Because you see, if God cuts off the branch, is there any life in it anymore? Why? Because it's dead. And I want to tell you, friends, in the church at large, I don't care how long they've been going and sitting in buildings, like Billy Graham said, if you're born in a garage, don't make you a car. And you can go to church. Unless you've been born again, unless there's been a work of divine, God-given repentance, and you see this is for the rest of your life and eternity, you've got a very short gospel. But the gospel that God has given us is to turn us from sinners into saints. So, what a wonderful thing that God wants to take dirty people to make them clean and restore them to be in His image. Yeah? So, it is a change of mind that leads to a change of heart, that leads to a change of actions. This change involves both a turning from sin and a turning to God. Too many people get hooked upon the first part. And God saying to you today, it's time for the second part. It's time for the process to go beyond the crisis. It's time for us to start saying, Lord, please help me to continue being saved. The Bible tells us to examine our hearts. The Bible tells us to look and see, when we repented, did I have godly sorrow? Did I really turn from that? Do I want to stop what Jesus wants me to stop? Am I really believing that God has got a plan and a purpose for my life? But for that to happen, I've got to become like Him as He is taking me down that journey. Because that's the church that God's waiting to show to the world. Amen? So Father, we pray today right now that You will help us. Every age group here, Lord. I pray that those who, Lord, are coming towards You, they will come and know the work of the Holy Spirit in their lives. I want to say right now, if you've never known that and you want that, praise God, last week I was speaking on a similar word like this, and three people said, I want God. I felt this morning, I felt that I've never really repented. I felt I want godly sorrow to happen in my life. See, if you come God's way, God does what He says He'll do. Praise God. Heavenly Father, today would You help us to make sure we've repented. We've had faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We've been baptized in water. We've been baptized in the Holy Spirit. We pray, O God, that we will, as a people, know that there's something also now, because inside of us is the new life of Christ, that makes it possible to follow you, to be like you, to love you, to reflect you in all that we do. Keep us from the deceptions of modern evangelicalism that says it's just a matter of putting your hand up. It's just a matter of something happening in that moment, but nothing more. Lord, we ask you to bring full salvation to the lives of people who believe. Thank you, Father, this morning. Can anybody say with me, thank you, Lord, for taking me a sinner and making me a saint. In Jesus' name. Amen.